First Peter 3, verses 13 to 22. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Matthew chapter 3. Verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Psalm 40. To the choir master, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, Behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me, for evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and be disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy. But the Lord takes thought of me. But the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. So, my wife tells me sometimes that that I think too much. So, and perhaps she's right sometimes. But sometimes you think just enough, and it's good to think. It's good to think and let your thoughts, if they're led by God, lead you to a place of understanding. I mean, a month ago we had a discussion in our evening service, and I was thinking a lot. I told them that I would pray and wait on me. Wait for me to figure things out. And I seriously went into a time of prayer and thinking, contemplating, scripture, study. And so that's why I came up with a paper, because I told you I'd think and I'd pray, and I did. Because I take seriously the decisions that I make. And it's like, and it's hard. Especially when I know I'm supposed to be a representative, an example. That's why it was really a big decision for me years ago when I got baptized. Because the United Methodist Church would not support me in that, really. Because I was baptized as an infant. But as I kept growing with the Lord, and as sin no longer took precedence in my life, and Jesus Christ became what I proclaimed him to be, he became my first love. I knew I wanted to make a public proclamation of it. And so I went and I got baptized. My daughter was there as a witness, and some other people who stood on the shores of the Atlantic Ocean as I went in and got baptized. And it was something that was just, it was a major event for me. And I still have the certificate in my box of important papers. It's the thing that lays right on top, my baptism certificate. And I got one for a dear lady who's getting baptized today that I'm going to give her as soon as I figure out how to spell all the intricacies of whatever her name and middle name is and all that stuff. Because public proclamation is important. We sang the song, and it's quoted in verse 40 about, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. I've not hidden it. Some folks, I think, have hidden it. But the very first thing you do, and if you feel like you're a timid kind of person, at least the one thing that you get right is somewhere along the way, you step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, and then you let your pastor dunk you down in, and you're making a proclamation before the whole world to say, I believe in Jesus, I turn away from sin. I say, sin is no longer has dominion over me. I was blind, but now I see. You proclaim a new life, a new standard, a new family. And it's what everybody needs to do. And there's some folks, I've even heard some folks thinking like, well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And I can say, I don't know, perhaps you can be a saved, disobedient Christian. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, I'm saying, you know, baptism is what God wants us to do. It's all over the Bible. And some people might even say, well, the Apostle Paul, he didn't talk much about baptism. Well, he didn't. True, Paul did not come. That was not his chief task, to baptize. That was not his chief task. But at the same time, it's interesting enough that when Paul is reiterating his Christian testimony, he talks about, he says, and now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Doesn't that sound like water baptism? And yes, I know we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit, the gift of all those who believe. We should all be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift of all those who believe. No one says Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what faith is all about. At the same time, I'll say that water baptism is all over the Bible. In fact, in Acts chapter 10, when the Holy Spirit falls upon the Gentiles, proving to us that God, using Peter, opens a door for the Gentiles to come into the church, the language is, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Now you might say, well, Paul, well, he didn't baptize much. He did baptize, though. But who did he baptize? That was Peter. So that's like, you know, he's like, you know, Jesus. Didn't he say something like, thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. So Peter has like some importance, right? In fact, Peter and John, they kind of go up to kind of like amen the ministry in Samaria. They amen. I mean, Peter amens the ministry of the Gentiles. Peter's there at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. So Peter, when he does something, it's a deal. But it's like a major thing, right? But also Paul is important, obviously, because he's bringing the faith out there to the Gentile world. But who did Paul baptize? He mentions Gaius, he mentions Stephanus, and he mentions Crispus. Crispus is a synagogue ruler. And Stephanus, the household of Stephanus is the first convert to Christ in Achaia, which if you look at your atlas, Achaia is like the southern, it looks like it's like the southern part of Greece. So it's in this area, that's the first convert. So if you're building foundations, the very first guy is going to have to be baptized by somebody. Right? So it would make sense that Paul would baptize a synagogue ruler. It would make sense that Paul would baptize Stephanus. And I don't know about Gaius, but Paul, it didn't seem like that was his calling to baptize by and large. Who would be the baptizers? I would suppose the baptizers would probably be like the person I am today, the pastors, the people who are watching over the flock. In fact, one of the reasons why one of our flock is getting baptized today at the lake, because my concern, I mean, I like the lake. It's kind of a pretty place and everything. Hopefully flowing water and all. But another reason why I like it, because I like to have the congregation surrounding. And I thought we'd get more people, especially having like a few people who showed up today, we'd have more people surrounding her, because when a person gets baptized, don't you want that person supported by the Christian community? So, I'm saying all this to tell you, praise the Lord. You are making a well thought out stand for Jesus Christ when you come forward and say, today I publicly proclaim baptism, right? I've told you before, when Jesus contended with the devil in the wilderness, and he was quoting from, I think, like Deuteronomy, why did Jesus need to quote from words that he spoke before? Why couldn't Jesus say, buzz off? Because Jesus is the Word of God. He is God's Word in the flesh, as it says in John chapter 1. He is God's Word. Why couldn't Jesus just say, get lost? I think he quoted from the Scriptures to show us how to fight. To show us to quote from the Scriptures. Even if the enemy would twist some Scriptures, make sure you understand it in context and give the right understanding of it. He's showing us how to fight. But tell me again, why is Jesus being baptized? Jesus has no, had no, never has any, never will have any. Jesus is totally without sin. He has no sin. He is holy. He is pure. He is righteous. He is strong. He is good. Why does he get baptized? Why?
To be an example to us.
To be an example to us. And so if we think we don't have to go through that portion because of our little idiosyncratic theology, it has no place. It has no place. Now, I will tell you, the thief on the cross, I don't see him getting baptized. And there might be like a little baby at the hospital or something, and you say like, well, the baby hasn't been baptized. Well, God's grace. God is a loving, fair, wonderful, beautiful God. I'm just saying, if you have strength in your legs and breath in your lungs and you are not tied to a cross, step out into the water. You know what I'm saying? Because it's simply a command. It's simply a command. And even though it is a simple command, it is one that goes along with Psalm 40 that says, I have not hidden your salvation in my heart. I have not said, I'm saved. Not going to tell anybody. Love Jesus, not going to tell anybody. No, I'm going to tell. In fact, I'm going to proclaim by the washing of the water that my sins are washed away. And I rise up as I'm rising up out of the grave into a new life, breathing new life with Jesus Christ. A life that is abundant and free, where I can look at all the laws in the Old Testament and I don't have to be afraid, like, oh, I'm not going to be perfect enough. But I look at them saying, how can I love him more? How can I love him more? How can I get more in tune with God's heart? How can I do that? I have a 12-string guitar. Sometimes in the midst of a set, I feel like pressing that tuning button and just seeing if I can sneak some tuning in, because it's so hard. I mean, it's so easy to get off tune. Even in the midst of singing your song. And let me tell you, Christian, it is so easy for you to get off tune even in the midst of your song. There's a song that some group sings, Let My Life Song Sing to You. Maybe it's Casting Crowns or something. Let My Life Song Sing. And we want our life songs to sing to you. But you know what, Christians? You can let some little thing get into you and it becomes a root of bitterness. And all of a sudden, you're a crabby person, you're a critical person, you're a nasty person. You don't want that. Or you know what? You can let a little sin in your life. You cherish it. And then all of a sudden, you don't care about other sins in your life. Or you don't care about other sins in other people's lives. You don't care about the church. And the church becomes less holy too. And less powerful too. Because it says in Psalm 66, verse 18, that if I cherished... And I'm just doing this from memory, but it's like something like, if I cherish iniquity in my heart, O Lord, you would not hear my prayer. Like if I had some little part of my heart back here kept Lord, you wouldn't, there would be distortion. I couldn't quite, there wouldn't be, there would be distortion between my words and your ear, Lord. Don't we want to be a clear and a holy church? So we have to watch over ourselves. We have to make sure we watch our life and doctrine, make sure we stay in the Word, and make sure we're obedient to the Word. And that means in baptism. And that means in everything. That we speak the truth in love. And that we forsake sin and go on with God. You know what it said in 1 Peter 3? Remember that verse? It says, baptism, it was not... let me tell you. This lady here is not going to the lake today. She's not going to that Canoe Creek Lake for a bath. All right? In fact, some people would probably tell you it's not the place where you would want to bathe regularly. Right? Some people, even after in there, they might take a bath. But what she's going there for is the washing of her soul before God. An outward representation of what's already been going on in her heart. She knows that she's in love with Jesus, and today she wants to say, I do. Just like he says, I do. And Jesus loves you preciously. He does. But what it says in 1 Peter, it says it's not a washing of the body. It's a pledge of good conscience towards God. Right? That's why when you come up to be baptized, we ask somebody, give us your story, details or the broad picture. Give us your story of I was blind but now I see. Of this was darkness, now I'm in the light. This was sin, now I'm with God. I proclaim hatred towards sin and love towards God. I turn away from sin, I turn to God. Tell us the story. And whether you say the details or not, with you and God, don't leave out any details. Because you want a pledge of good conscience. You want to be able to look at God in the eye and say, I love you. There was one time my brother Larry gave me $20 for stacking wood at his house, and Larry was the richest guy in the family, I think, at that time. My dad asked me, how much did you get paid, son, on the way home in the car? I thought my dad would make me do something crazy, like put it in the bank. And here I was, a child with $20. It's like gold. $20. How much do you get paid, boy? $10. Guess what? Dad already knew how much I got paid. He already knew. So when you come forward to lay your sins down and to take up the life of righteousness that is the free gift to you, don't lie to God. He already knows. He already knows what you've taken and what you have to lay down. And the thing is, he already loves you so much. He just wants you to be honest to go on, because he does want you to go on. Because if any man is in Christ, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Was that 2 Corinthians 5:17?
Yes.
So, you're all a bunch of butterflies, right? New creations. And sometimes when people come to Christ, they turn like a cruise ship, or like a dirt bike, and some like a cruise ship. So it might take a little while till you live the Christ life, but you're proclaiming that's the direction you're heading, and you're not making any allowances for the enemy. No excuses anymore. You are for Jesus. It's kind of when you get married, you say yes to that person, but hopefully everybody else in attendance and everybody in the whole rest of the world knows that you're also saying no to everybody else. Right? I choose this one. I do not choose all y'all. I choose this one. Okay? So, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean not on your understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. Love Him. Let Him make your path straight. Because He loves this congregation. Small though it may be, He loves us as we love each other. It's not always easy, but it's good because it's real. And we care for each other and we pray for each other.